that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And here we are, Saturday morning, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, the sun hadn't even come up yet out here. But we do welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
We say good morning to the remnant out there that have joined us. Here it is, 7 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Central, and it's already late in the morning on the East Coast, 9 o'clock. Maybe those people got to sleep in. I don't know if Chris is going to call and complain about 9 o'clock's a little too early for him on Saturday morning, but maybe, maybe not, but we're here starting December off right, got our Bibles open and our coffee about half drank, and so that's a good way to start it. And Jason, would you start us out with a prayer this morning?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program. We ask that you guide us and direct us in the thoughts that we want to get across and that you give us the words to speak. We pray that you be with the remnant in these times that we're living in, these perilous times. Father, that you strengthen them, that you bless them, that you just let their cup overflow with blessings. And we pray, Father, that you guide them and direct them, that you give us all guidance, direction, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power and authority over all the forces of hell that come against us on an everyday battle. Oh, Father, we do pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation. We pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray and petition for the saints across this land. And we pray, Jesus, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of all who come against us in any way, shape, or form. And we pray for your blessing upon us. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And I guess we'll have the phone lines open if you want to call in this morning. 307-745-5913. Had a verse in Jeremiah that came to mind. I've got marked here. I thought I'd start out reading that. We've kind of talked about Babylon a little bit over the last several weeks. It says, Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine, and therefore the nations are going mad. It sure seems like that's where we're at today.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
The nations of Israel, those many multitude of nations that was promised and that promise has come true, it sure seems like they've gone mad.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you can cross-reference that scripture. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but, you know, it talks about them drinking of her wine, but it's also that wine will become poison to her, and that's what kills her.
Yeah, I think it talks about that in Revelations.
Well, the good news to that story is the elect. There is an elect that, you know, I think it says that, you know, if time wasn't shortened for the elect's sake, you know, even they would be, you know, in deep trouble, maybe fall to temptation. But God has his elect. He has his remnant. He has his, some think it's the 12,000 of each tribe, the 144,000, but whatever it is, it's in God's plan, you know, and he will save out of that madness that you're talking about, Richard. He's going to save out of that madness a remnant, you know, and by the way, that was a good prayer this morning, Jason, for the remnant. And that's the good news.
Yeah, and I think that, that's what we got to remember, is when that destruction comes, you know, that is, you know, for our benefit. You know, a lot of people ain't going to like it, but, you know, that really, in a lot of ways, cleans up the gene pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, you know, it's interesting. There's so many things going on right now, and it just seems like we're living in at the end of an age. You know, just, you know, with, you know, Barack Hussein Obama being lifted up as a god, to so many people, and it's like, you know, that stuff, you know, you didn't see much about that right before the election, but after the election they started pouring that stuff out there, and it's just about everywhere that you know, that you look, and it, you know, people lifting them up as a god, and you know, I can't help but think is when, you know, when they do that you know, we know that we serve a jealous God, and you know, it could be time is short before, you know, our God takes that rod of wrath in his hand and says, you know, I'm not going to share in my glory.
Amen. Yeah, I was reading in Jeremiah 2 this morning, chapter 2, verse 11. Has the nation changed God? When they were not God, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water.
Amen. Amen. And that's right where what we have done as a people. That's not what the Antichrist have done. That's what we've done as a people. My people, he says. That's us. That's the remnant that have done that. And that's why that's part of those nations going mad. It's the nations of Israel that have gone mad. And you know, when you look out at it, you look at the European nations that were founded by the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people. And they've gone absolutely crazy over there. The socialism that's come in, just in every aspect. And then you look in our own backyard. Heck, you look in our front yard and the side yards and upstairs and downstairs. And we've done the exact same thing. We have done just that. Gone to other gods. And the people cheer. What was that you showed me on the internet yesterday, John, about...
Yeah, Jamie Foxx, the actor, came out on Soul Train. I think Jason hit on this last night on his program. But anyways, actually came out and said, we need to praise God and our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama, and said it twice, and the people cheered.
Yep. And no, those are not our people, for the most part. But our people stand by and watch it and laugh at it or say, oh, how about that, you know? And,
yeah, and then just this week, another painting of Barack Obama portrayed as Christ, not showing a cross, but basically in the exact same position that Christ was on the cross with his head down to one side and a crown of thorns on his head. And, man, I don't know about you guys, but it just makes me irate and want to go to preparatory prayer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you know, but the thing is, you know, we'd like to say that it's not our people, but it is. I mean, that's the... You look at this land, you know, when God said that there's going to be a remnant of a remnant, he meant it, you know. And, you know, we can do whatever we want to deny it, but, you know, he calls, you know, certain ones and calls out other ones for the other side. And, you know, we've seen that happen. We've all had divisions in our families. You know, we've all had... you know, friends or loved ones that are going to be on that other side.
That's true. I'm going to read a couple of verses here in Ezekiel 9. We were touching on this in Sunday school last week, but this is the scripture I was looking for, John, that we were talking about, and it says, "And the Lord said," it's in starting in verse 4 of chapter 9, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite, and let not your eye spare, neither ye have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house." And there's so many... me and Richard was talking about this before prayer meeting Wednesday night. People don't care. They don't sigh. They don't cry because of all the abominations that's been done. They joke about it. And they make humor out of it. And they just tolerate it in many different ways. Well, that's not the mark of God on their forehead. I mean, if nothing else, it's the mark of the beast on their forehead. But it's so, you know, I never heard that. I never heard Jason show last night, and I never heard about, you know, what's his name saying that. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how it feels to them that laugh and joke at it, because it's like you, John, it makes me want to just go into a precatory prayer. It makes me mad. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Yep.
That people tolerate that. I mean.
Well, then you got the conservatives now, so-called conservatives, you know, Christian right, whatever, that are saying we need to be more tolerant. That's why we lost the election, because we don't embrace homosexuality and, you know, what is the scripture? Oh, that you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out.
Yep.
The whole world's becoming lukewarm.
Yeah, and atheist signs, you know, all over. When we went back for Thanksgiving, well, I don't know about all over, but I think we've seen three of them, me and my wife, you know, big billboards with two atheists, you know, white guys with faggot-looking smiles on their faces, you know, we're atheists, you know, and of course at the bottom it's by that group that, you know, John talks about. I forget.
Freedom from Religion Foundation, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I never noticed those before, last year, the year before, or when, so those are brand new. They must be popping up everywhere, you know, and it's just the proof, it's just the signs that the end is near. Because
if they popped up between here and Oregon, they are everywhere, because this is about the last of anywhere that would be.
They made
anywhere.
A big push in Portland.
Well,
they're
yeah,
bragging obviously. About it on their website, about all the billboards that they put up in Portland, Oregon.
Well, they're finding the right place to do it, because there's not very many of our people out there. I mean, there's a lot of our people out there, but there's not very many of the remnant out there that has eyes to see and ears to hear, that's for sure.
Yep. Well, I got another verse here, too, yep, that just so happens to be in Jeremiah 2:28. I think the Lord led me to this one. But but where are your gods, which you made for yourself? Let them arise if they can and save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods of Judah. Why do you contend with me? You have all transgressed against me, declares the Lord. In vain you have struck your sons. They accepted no chastening. Your sword has devoured your prophets like the destroying lion. And then you can read on, but boy, if that's not the, what exactly what's going on.
Is that not right where we're at? In the time of your trouble, according to the number of your cities are your gods? And the people would say, oh, well, we're not like that. Oh, yeah? How about the Dallas Cowboys and the Phoenix Suns and the Cincinnati Reds?
It's unlimited.
Every city.
It's unlimited.
Every city has their small g gods. And that's how they're lifted up. You know, worship anything but God. Or what you see around is the people wearing the, always wearing the T-shirts. And not that just because you wear one, you're worshiping a false god, but the people sure do that. You know, every city, it seems like, has their little small g god. Whether it is Barack Obama coming out of Chicago or the sports teams that are just innumerable in every city across the land.
Lord willing, we're going to have a T-shirt coming out here shortly, too, that's going to be God Save America T-shirt, so wear that one proudly.
Yeah. Kyle, what you were talking about earlier about having the mark in those that cry out at the abominations that are going on, Isaiah 13 is another scripture that says the same thing. Wail, says in verse 6. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. And, you know, that's what that means. It means cry out. Be in mourning. Shout the warning. You know, because that day draws near.
Yeah, I was reading a story here the other day. I think it was in North Carolina. A little 5-year-old girl was asked to write a poem or something about her two grandfathers that were in Vietnam War, and she wrote the poem, and she said they turned to God for their strength and for their hope, and this one person complained about using the name God in this little girl's poem that she's supposed to recite. I think it was on Veterans Day or something, and the school determined that they couldn't use the word God. So, I mean, it's all over.
Yeah. Well, and then when you read on of the judgment that's coming, you know, Christ is coming back. And when he returns, he's not coming like he did the first time. And he has a different reason to come back and a different purpose. You know, the first time he came was to redeem his people Israel. He came back to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came back to redeem them. They, and only they, have been sold for nothing, and they were to be redeemed without money. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He redeemed his people. He bought them back. He forgave their iniquity. It was prophesied in Isaiah and in Jeremiah and in the Psalms that he would do that. I will forgive their iniquity, their sin. And that's what he did when he came the first time. He healed. He forgave. The people were looking for a warrior savior. The people of the land were under Roman rule and under a foreign Roman authority. And they were looking for a warrior king to come and deliver them. And what they got was a loving savior. Well, he's coming back. But when he comes back, he's coming back not as the loving Savior, but this time as the warrior king. You can read about that in Revelation. You can read about the rod of iron that he is bringing back to rule with. You can read about the sword that comes from his mouth and that is the Word of God. And it talks about how the sword is, that sword is sharper than any two-edged sword. And he is not coming back as this long-haired hippie, dope-smoking, sandal-wearing, peace, love, everybody, brother, love, love, love. That's not how he's coming back. He's coming back on a white horse, ready for battle, with his warriors with him, those that have gone on before, those witnesses, and we've talked about that before. And he's coming
back. Four horsemen are riding.
They are. And he's coming back for judgment. For judgment. To render unto every man his deeds, both good and bad. So, you know, I had a caller this week, I think Wednesday or Thursday, called and ordered some material and said, well, you know, how close do you think we are? You know, how close do you think we are to his return? And I said, well, some are closer than others.
Yeah.
We don't know. And you know, the Bible says no man knows, I think it says, the day or the hour.
Right.
And so if you have someone coming out saying, like they did last year, May 21st, 2011 is Judgment Day. Well, it probably was for some, because there were some that died on that day. But it wasn't the Judgment Day. So those people were liars. Whether they were deceived or what, they were liars. That's what the Word says. No man knows the day or the hour. So someone that says that they do, you can either believe them, or you can believe the Word.
Well, you don't believe the Mayan calendar? We only have 20 days left?
I think some only have 20 days left.
Yep.
I agree with you there. And I like what Kyle said about that. We might be looking around. There sure might be something happening that day.
Yeah, could
but
be.
I don't put my trust in the Mayans. You know?
No.
They've been gone for how many thousand years? And it's a good thing they were gone with the human sacrifices that they had and the Baal worship and the ungodly gods that they worshipped. It's a good thing they are gone from the land. And before you know it, the rest of these ungodly are going to be gone from the land.
Amen. Praise
God. A little further there in Isaiah 13, it says, therefore I will make the heavens tremble. This is 13:13. And the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. And it will be that like a hunted gazelle or like a sheep with none to gather them, they will each turn to his own people and each one flee to his own land. And so these aliens that are among us, when we turn and acknowledge that we've sinned before God, finally, and pray to him and turn in true humility, he'll see that happens. He'll see that the aliens in the land return to their own land. He has to, because the Word says it. Each one will flee to his own land. So it will happen. What you got there, Kyle? You turned to something.
I was writing
down. Kyle, what was that scripture that you read about the being marked on the forehead?
Ezekiel 9, I think it was like starting in verse 4.
Okay. You know, it's interesting on that. I didn't know if that was the one you were turning to or not, but, you know, it's important to read verse 1 in that. And he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, draw near, O executioners of the city, each which is destroying weapon in his hand. You know, when he talks about in 4 or 5, when he talks about go through the city and strike them, you know, it's not talking about striking them, hitting them. It's talking about executioners going forth.
Absolutely.
with a destroying weapon in his hand.
It's the reapers.
And killing him.
It is. It's the reapers.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
You see that in the so many times they call it the Grim Reaper. You know, it's supposed to be death standing there, all dark and black and hooded with a cape and the big sickle that they use to cut the wheat. And that's exactly what it is.
But over and over, the reapers are angels of the Lord. Yeah. Now, rather, you know, that angel, that word angel means the pastors or the messengers of God,
right.
Whatever that word angel means, but that's who the reapers are. That's who's going to go through this land And I believe that's when it's going to be fulfilled, when Jesus Christ said, bring them here and slay them at my feet. I think that's all that threshing floor and the wine press that's ready, and all that stuff all coincides with what you're just talking about here, Jason, there in chapter 9, verse 1 through 7 or 6.
Right.
And Remnant, I hope you're listening to that. I hope you got what Jason said, that it is, draw near, you executioners of the city, with your destroying weapon, and drop on down a little bit to see
who they were destroying. Drop on down, read the whole thing.
Well, it says, draw near, you executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand, and behold, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. Yeah, this isn't a slap on the wrist here. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen with a writing case at his loins. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen at whose loins was a writing case. The Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. But
abominations too, that's interesting, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. But to the others he said in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children and women. But do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. He said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. Thus they went out and struck down the people in the city. And as they were striking the people, and I alone was left, I fell on my face and cried out, saying, alas, Lord God, are you destroying the whole remnant of Israel? This isn't against the Jews, people. This isn't against the Zulus. This isn't against the Chinese. This is against the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people that are being struck down and killed by God Almighty. I think sometimes we forget that. That it's because of our sin, you who were, and us who were redeemed, it's because of our sin that this is happening. This is who he is striking down. By pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem. And look at that word Jerusalem if you're out there, Remnant. Can you see that? There's just a few letters in there. What, nine of them? But what's right in the middle? What letters are in the very middle of that word? Have you ever seen that before? I'd never seen it till the pastor pointed it out to me. By pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem. And right there in the middle of that is USA.
You might as well read the next three verses.
Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great. And the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. But as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor will I spare. But I will bring their conduct upon their heads. And so it will be again. It was that way once, and it will be that way again.
Yeah, last Sunday I read Joel 3, and that goes along with what we're saying too. Proclaim this among the nations, prepare a war, rouse the mighty men, let all soldiers draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a mighty man. And then you skip down to like 13, it says, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come tread, for the winepress is full, our vats overflow, and their wickedness is great. You know, and it just keeps going on. But I knew, I remember reading that with the about the sickle and the harvest is ripe. And that's in Joel, you know. Joel is basically the solemn assembly to humble ourselves and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, you know.
Well, we hear so much of the love of Jesus Christ, and we cannot forget about the love of Jesus Christ. We've talked about it before. The Antichrist out there, they beat like a dead horse John 3:16. Oh, God loves the world. God loved the world. And we can't forget that even though they mock that verse, it's still there. It's still there. God's love and the love of Jesus Christ is truly more powerful than anything else. But it's his love for his people that causes him to do this. And the people, we need to understand. You know, we kind of get our belly full, I think, at times, you know, hearing that God loves us. But he is a wrathful God. His name, he says in here, I forget exactly where, but he says, my name is Jealous. And he is a jealous God. And it was read earlier today that, oh, where's your gods? You've made gods in every city. And that goes against the very first thing that he tells us not to do. You know, he pleads here in Jeremiah 18:11, oh, turn back each of you from his evil way and reform your ways and your deeds. I mean, that's the gospel message. Repent. Repent before it's too late. Well, we have the phone lines open. If you want to call in this morning, 307-745-5913. Trying to get that word out to the remnant. Turn back. Turn back while you can. It's like that guy standing aside the road with a sign, bridge out up ahead. You know, you can either believe it or not, but if you just keep going down that road, that path, it leads to destruction.
Yeah, and don't be caught, you know, when you read about those that say he's delayed his coming, you know, just because you're not saying he's delayed his coming, if you're living like he's delayed his coming, in other words, if you're not living like today's your last day, you know, and you just got to wake up, you know, you got to arm yourself like was prayed this morning, and you got to fight, you know, spirit against the flesh. I mean, all day long you have to, and sigh and mourn for your country, which means cry and imprecatory prayers and just prayers of repentance, prayers of sorrow. I mean, all that is part of the solemn assembly that John is speaking of. You know, where it talks about it in Joel and in a few other places. But it's a heart issue. It's a mind issue. It's every part of the body issue.
It truly is.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul.
Yeah.
Yep. Jeremiah 17 tells us about that, the deceitful heart. Starting in 9, it says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. We do. We have to take every thought captive, every lofty thought, that take it captive to his way, to his will. Got a song for you. We'll open up the phone lines after this, 307-745-5913. John, you requested it. Here it is. We'll be back after this.
Look in your Bible, and there you will see four horsemen riding with lightning speed. The fourth one, a veiled horse, always soon he will pass. Four horsemen riding, they're riding so fast. Is past, the earth it will tremble. God has chosen his wrath. Four horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. coming so fast. Judgment is coming when the harvest is past. The earth it will tremble. God has chosen his wrath. Four horsemen are riding. They're riding so fast. The miser, the great men will cry, for the hills and the mountains and the rocks to arise, to hide from the great day and God's wrath to arise. So friends, take this warning. Prepare for what comes. Accepting salvation and believe in his son. The promise he's given, it may be your last. Four horsemen are riding, they're coming at last. Is past. The earth it will tremble. God has chosen his wrath. Four horsemen are riding. They're riding so fast. Four horsemen are riding. They're riding so fast.
No, there it is, believe it or not. The Word of God says it. You've heard it from the Word. You've heard it from the Wranglers. You've heard it from the pastor. It's coming. It's up to you to be ready. Don't think you just got forever, or you got till your old age, or till that good job's done with, or any of that. You may not have that next day that you think you're that I'm going to turn tomorrow. Oh, Monday. Monday will be a good day. You know, Monday's always a good day to start a diet. Monday's always a good day to turn over a new leaf and, you know, do those New Year's resolutions. Yeah, we'll do it Monday. You're not guaranteed the rest of today, much less Monday. So, Remnant, don't delay. What's the word tell us? Was it the Ethiopian he told to? Why tarriest thou? There's much water. May not come near that much water again anytime soon.
What'd you hear about that deal up in Casper, Richard?
I did. That was, I guess, a double murder and suicide. They're ruling it now up at Casper College just yesterday. It just proves the word when it tells that we started out saying that the nations have gone mad. The people truly have. And, you know, what we're seeing is, I think, the world and his people apart from him, apart from God, in darkness and desolation. The Bible says death followed, and death is all about us, and it is there. Heartbreak and sorrow, and so. And you know, it doesn't have to be this way. I think that's what so many, even our generation, you know, we're all in, most of us anyway, 40s, 50s. I guess we span it, 30s, 40s, and 50s, between the four of us. And so many of our people, I think in all of our age groups, just think that's the way it is. Well, it's just got to get worse before it gets better. And it doesn't have to get worse. But I think because of the stiff-neckedness, is that a word?
Works for me.
Of the people, that it's got to get worse before they'll get better, before they'll turn back to this word, back to the rock that they were hewn from, back to him who paid to redeem them, until his people will turn back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Sometimes I think we look too broad. We want all of our people to come back and turn to God. And so sometimes that gets depressing when you don't see all of yours. Like Jason said, we all have people we love, people we know that we want their eyes to be open and their ears to be open and them to turn from their wicked ways. You know, and so that can kind of be a little bit depressing, but you just can't focus there. You got to focus on yourself and the remnant that is turning to God and is crying out. And, you know, and because there's a lot of joy in that. I mean, even though it might just be a few.
Is this another test, too, for his people? Are you mourning? Are you groaning at what is going on in this country and what you see about you? Or are you believing what the Antichrist have taught, you know, Dharma, which is tolerance? They've taught that, and the churches have accepted it for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to pass that test? I'm reading here today, West Point Chapel to host their first same-sex wedding ceremony in the chapel at West Point. I mean, I know some people who went to West Point. They're good, God-fearing people, and I'm sure this just... I'm hoping they're groaning and mourning that they make that cut.
Yeah, well, it's like I don't know if that was you or talking to you earlier this year or this week, Richard. Our whole lives are a big test, you know, on the big screen, the country screen, you know, and individually every day of our lives. On, you know, I mean, it's just test after test, you know, and it's, you know, and it's trial by fire. You know, we're trying to get ourselves as, well, what's the word, you know, until our obedience is complete. You know what I mean? And that's what we're trying to get to, you know, that our obedience will become complete, not only in our little, you know, our little personal lives, but on the grander big schedule, you know, as what we're going to tolerate. What are you going to put up with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking with Mr. Darrell this week, and he I think we did talk about it, because and he brought it up, and we came to that conclusion that, you know, these trials that come up, you know, we think, well, what do I do, and why is this happening? It's a test, and then it's all a test. It's all a test, and I mean, the word tells us that, you know, we do have that daily fight of faith. We have to do just that, fight it daily. Well, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Wranglers. This is Robert from New York. How you doing?
Good morning, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, I was just, you know, observing, you know, different styles of, you know, haircuts and, you know, how women look, how guys look. And it's just, it's horrendous. Seeing women with, you know, these butch short haircuts and, you know, the really short dresses. And yet, you notice, guys, they're always shaving all the time. I mean, what is with this shaving all the time? I did some research, and all this started back in World War I when the troops were in Europe and they were afraid to get gas, mustard and chlorine gas, so they had to have a tight fit to wear the mask. So basically, it's conforming... to a military order that, you know, guys just continue on with this shaving all the time. And you figure what a big business it is. I mean, billions of dollars have been spent on shaving cream and blades and you know, all this paraphernalia. But when you look at ancient Israel, I mean, the guys had beards. I mean, all the apostles, Jesus, it's even required. What is it, in Leviticus, for a man to have beard? I mean, not saying that that's going to give you salvation or anything, but, you know, who are we conforming with? Are we conforming with, you know, the military-industrial, you know, heathen existence? And most of the heathen tribes, you know, the guys were all clean-shaven looking. So I'm saying, let's do the beards. I've been doing a beard for decades now. Any comment?
Well, the Duck Dynasty guys must agree with you. I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, look out in San Francisco. They had a guy, a pitcher, Nelson. And it's like fear of the beard. You know, and I mean, it's catching on. I mean, wear a beard. What is with the shaving idea? And the guys, they look like women. The guys are shaving all the time. They kind of... Yeah, give
me
that woman look.
Well, Robert, maybe not all of them. Kyle shaves pretty regularly, and he doesn't look like any woman I know. So
it's because my beard is so ugly.
Kyle, let's get the beard going.
What about our wives shaving their legs? Is that okay? Or
no, forget about this. No, let's just, you know, women can do the leg thing. Yeah,
sure. But, well, Robert, I'm bringing the communion message tomorrow. I think I'm up in the rotation, and so you'll have to tune in and see if the beard I've been growing will work for you, if that's in line with what you're thinking.
Yeah. So just keep on, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Robert. Appreciate it.
Have a good day. Take
okay,
care.
You
God
too.
Bless. Bye.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't know. My wife kind of likes it when I shave my beard. I look a little younger.
Yeah.
As you get older, your gray comes out in your beard a lot more than it does in your head.
Something to think about, that's for sure. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I had dinner with two of my boys last night. We were down in Fort Collins, and we're pulling out of the parking lot, and one, you know, looks over and he says, kind of what Robert said, is that a guy or a girl walking across the parking lot? And you couldn't tell because the hair was bobbed short, and the jeans and the sneakers or shoes or whatever it was. And the baggy shirt, you could not tell.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
Well, I've thought to myself, you know, do they go to the same barber, you know, husband and wife? Because it looks like that. But maybe they're thinking about me. Maybe they're thinking, is that a man who's shaving like that? Who knows? You know, I mean.
I don't think anybody that looks at you wonders if you're a woman at all, okay?
No, but
you know what? You can tell. It's not just the beard and the haircut.
Yeah.
You can tell. I mean, either you act like a man or you act like a stinking
fairy. Well, that's true.
Fairy, you know?
Judge a tree by its fruit. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just the way you carry yourself, too. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you, you know, there's a lot of things.
Yeah, I used to, you know, Pastor used to describe it so well when he'd do his little shuffling behind the woman thing, you know.
Yeah.
And, man, if you watch that, it just goes on everywhere. You know, the men just follow the women through the grocery stores or wherever they're at, and
yes,
you know,
dear. It's, yes, dear.
It's sick.
Yeah, it's gotten that way. You know, the word has come true. Women and children rule over them, and it's like when the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. The men are fine with it. Those that should be men, anyway. Are fine with it. Our culture, and I think that's what Robert was talking about, is you know, weren't beards part of our culture at one time? And I think that they were. You know, you see a lot of older, the old black and white sepia colored photographs, and a lot of our people had beards, had facial hair. And
yeah, but you know what? Our pastor didn't. He pretty much made sure he shaved.
Yeah, and like Robert said, it wasn't
a salvation.
It's not a salvation. It's
but
just
at the
same
time,
it was a part of our culture that, you know, has been replaced by something else.
Yeah.
I think you got to worry when the guys start shaving their legs and their armpits. Then that's a pretty good sign that something wrong.
Okay, I agree with that.
I was looking here too on the news, and there's a topic. It says war on Jesus. U.S. colleges have outright disregard and disdain for Jesus Christ, report claims. They went to 12 universities and 316 courses on religion. Not one of them taught favorably about Jesus Christ or his teaching. That's a sign of the times, too.
Yep. Yeah.
It's Zechariah, the time of Zechariah coming back. And their hearts are like flint. Zechariah 7:11 says, they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn ear or turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And you know, if you wonder out there sometimes, well, why? Why would God send his executioners through the city? Why would he do this, this loving God? That's one of the reasons why. Because he tells his people what to do. You know, what do you do with your dog when you know, you teach him and you train him and you tell him what to do and he just continues to refuse him? Usually you kick him out the door or you pop him with a switch or something to get his attention. And, you know,
yeah, and actually, when you get down to it, he's been so merciful. You know, I don't know if this is the right way to put it, but there's been lines made in the sand in the scripture, and there was many times where he forgave them before the iron fist came down, before he punished them, you know.
Oh, time,
but then,
and time again.
But then there came a point where I can't back the line up anymore, buddy. You know what I mean? You either repent now or you're going to perish, and they did, you know.
Yeah.
And that's called love, you know. Otherwise, we're bastards. We're illegitimate children.
If you don't have that chastening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as old as some of you, but in my lifetime, I
think
I
John,
never...
you're number two there on the list. Okay, just to clarify things, you know.
Anyways, I can't remember in my lifetime them portraying someone as Jesus Christ like they are Obama. Can you?
Well, I'm the only one older than you, and no, I can't either, but, you know, what's a couple of years?
See what I'm saying? I mean, this is...
No,
this isn't a wake-up call of, you know, when they're blaspheming Jesus Christ like that with a half-breed mongrel and lifting him up. You know, I brought up, I don't know, several months ago, that calendar that they have about Obama, that they use the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and then they got a picture of Obama, you know.
Well, you know, through the years, I used to get the covers of the prophecy books used to get my attention when you walk through the Bible, the Christian bookstores. And so I used to buy some of those, you know, and a lot of those, you know, they have the, when they talk about the Antichrist, they're talking about one guy.
Right.
You know, and it's been many different people throughout the years. But, you know, and I've always just, you know, or I don't know about always, but in the last so many years, I believe the Antichrist is one body of Edomites, or what do you want to call it, just like the body of Christ is Christ, you know. But if I was ever going to go where it was one guy, you know, with the, you know, the word abomination, even the, I mean, if I was going to go in that direction and have all these things tie in, I mean, he's the guy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Nobody's been like this before. And maybe there'll be, you know, maybe time will go on, there'll be another one even worse. But as of right now, yeah, I'd say, John, you're right on. There's been nothing like this before.
No. What do you think, Jason? You're pretty young.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I've never seen anything like it.
You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, but it's kind of a new thing, at least in our time.
Yeah. I think about the story of Herod. You know, if you read the story of Herod, you know, the people were crying out saying it's the voice of a god, not of a man.
Right.
You know, and, you know, instantly, you know, he was struck down. He didn't stop the people. Yeah. He, you know, he gloated in that glory, and God wasn't ready to share that glory.
Yes.
Yeah, and Nebuchadnezzar way back then. I mean, in the original Babylon, I mean, he started thinking that all this stuff was done by his hands.
Haven't I done all this, he said?
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're almost out of time. Of course, that's when the phone lines start ringing. But, you know, we've just got time for a quick invite to church. We do want to invite you to come to church tomorrow at the LaPorte Church of Christ in LaPorte, Colorado. You don't have to drive to LaPorte and get a midnight flight out of anywhere. You can just turn your computer on, go to scriptures4america.org, and you can join us there. You can click on the live video stream starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning Mountain Time. That's 11 o'clock Central and noon on the East Coast. So you get to sleep in on the East Coast. But we do invite you to church. We'll have a good scriptural insight and study, a welcome by John. We'll have some good music. Shane and I will be there to lead some good praise and worship music. And we'll have a communion message and then a Holy Spirit-inspired message by Pastor Peter. So we do invite you there. Hope that you'll join us. Don't forsake the assembly. This is a way that you can join. And it's about time to get your registrations in if you want to come out to Colorado for the Solemn Assembly and Family Gathering Camp. December 28th, 29th, and 30th. Get your emails in quick. We'll take them till Monday, and then that's about it. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. Our address, if you want to write, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow. Thanks again.
Rolling, stay high. Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, big high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.